Just going to invite John up to speak with us. Just give a quick prayer before you speak. God, thank you so much for John. We just pray that you use him today so that we can learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Casey, for leading the service today. And thank you for being with us. It's good to welcome you this morning. I almost wore my tartan scarf, but decided not to do that. But I couldn't help saying something. In church here, over the past few weeks, we've been thinking, first of all, about a man called David and learning lessons from him. And we've now begun to look at the parables of Jesus. And if you've not got a copy of this, it outlines the parables that are coming up over the next few weeks. You'll get one of these at the back. Please feel free to take one. A speaker's nightmare is either being given a passage that's very complicated or a passage that's very simple. This parable, there's not a lot in it. There was a wise man and a foolish man. They both built houses. The storm came. The wise man had his house founded on the rock, and it stood firm. Foolish man built on sand, and the whole thing came crashing down. Here endeth the lesson. I've known that story since I was probably 4 years of age. And yet, if we just take that parable in isolation, then we're not getting the whole picture. And I want to expand what's going on before and try and give you an understanding of where Jesus is actually going in this parable. During the course of the past week, probably one of the greatest evangelists of the 20th century died. His name was Billy Graham. He had preached in 185 countries. And the next slide shows the kind of thing that he did. He would take over a stadium, maybe 30, 40, 50,000 people, and he would preach. When he had given the sermon, he would always call people to respond. And often that would mean walking forward and being prayed for to show their commitment. Thousands of people have done that over the years. And in fact, in Seoul, Billy Graham spoke to 1.1 million people on the final evening or the final day of a crusade that he was having there. And 75,000 said that they had committed their lives to Jesus. Now, probably all wouldn't continue in that faith, but nevertheless, that was the kind of extent of his work and ministry. And the whole idea of an altar call, of calling people to respond, to commit to what they've heard, is exactly what the parable of the foolish and the wise men are. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount. It's said to be the greatest sermon ever preached, where Jesus teaches his disciples and also ordinary people. At the end of the sermon is this parable of the wise and foolish builders. And in this parable, Jesus is looking for a response. He's saying, you've heard my words. What are you going to do with them now? And the parable of the wise and foolish builders doesn't sit on its own in terms of response, because there are two other parables just before it. There's the parable in verse 13 and 14 of Matthew chapter 7, which speaks about two gates, the narrow gate and the wide gate. And then verse 17 and 20 speak about the two trees, one which bears good fruit and the other which bears bad fruit. And then the third push is the two builders, one that's wise and the other that's foolish. And in each parable, there are two choices. the two gates that lead to two roads. And Jesus is asking the question, have you entered in? Are you on the right road? The two trees. Jesus is asking the question, is the fruit of your life good or is it bad fruit? The two builders. Are you building on a good foundation and therefore you can be called wise? Or are you building on a poor foundation like the foolish man? And there are 2 points that I want to make here. First of all, in the three parables, Jesus gives a clear choice. It's either one or the other. There are only two options, not many. So Jesus doesn't agree that it doesn't matter what you believe so long as you're sincere. He doesn't allow us to believe that we can reach God by any which way. Nor does he accept that we'll all get there in the end. It's very clear from these three parables that Jesus gives this choice, one or the other. And secondly, having heard his teaching, Jesus challenges us to decide. In other words, to make a deliberate decision. The wide gate and the narrow gate. The solid foundation or the sand. Jesus doesn't allow us some middle, comfortable ground. To believe there is some middle ground is to disagree with Jesus. It's probably to deceive ourselves as well. It may be uncomfortable, but it's what Jesus teaches. He says, you've heard it. You might have enjoyed it. You might agree with the logic of what I've said. But then he asks the direct question, are you going to obey? And frankly, this parable about the builders isn't about builders at all. It's about you and me. For those who heard the Sermon on the Mount, they are now being asked to decide between ritual and religion or a relationship with Jesus and faith in God. They're being asked to choose between rules and regulations or their attitude and their allegiance. At the end of the parable of the two builders, we read in verse 28 and 29, the crowds were amazed at the teaching of Jesus. I've said this was a very simple parable, but as he had taught through these three, what we have as chapters, the crowds were amazed. Why were they amazed? Well, verse 29 tells us, it says, because Jesus taught as one having authority. And that authority of Jesus was because of who he was. This teacher that they had been listening to is none other than the Son of God. The person who's able to call God his Father. In the Old Testament, the prophets and preachers used to say, thus saith the Lord. So they would be teaching the people and they would be saying, this is what God says. But 5 times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. He is the truth. It's he who judges whether or not we are fit for the kingdom. He doesn't allow us just to walk away without making any decision. Or to play act, he knows exactly who we are. So as we come to our parable in verse 27, 24 and 27 in Matthew chapter 7, we read, everyone who hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice is like a wise person who builds a house on a rock. The wind comes, the rain comes, the storm beats on the house, but the house stands firm because it's on a solid foundation. Everyone who hears Jesus' words and doesn't put them into practice is like a person who builds a house on the sand. The same wind, the same rain, the same storm comes, but that house comes down with a great crash. All of us, as we listen to the teachings of Jesus, are like one of these two builders. We're either building on rock or we're building on sand. Our foundation is either obedience to the words of Jesus or obedience to some other voice. That other voice could be our own voice. It could be the voice of our parents or our peers. It could be another philosophy altogether. The voice of materialism or ambition, or even contemporary culture, which often conflicts with the words of Jesus. And the question for us this morning is, what voice are we listening to? It's possible that the two buildings look the same, but the foundation becomes evident when the storm comes. Similarly with us, when there is pressure of bereavement, the loss of a job, temptation to compromise, ill health, our foundations are shaken, and often that's when they are seen. I want to say that it's been a joy over the past number of years to be part of the Alma community. Because as we've journeyed together, I've seen those who are in this church, young and old, stand in the face of personal challenge. Of course there's been questions. Of course there's been tears. But there has also been evidence of good foundations. People have stood. People have trusted. And God has been their God. I want to speak to anyone who's unsure this morning if their lives are built on the words of Jesus. Here are some of the words of Jesus that we can build the foundation of our lives and our future on. John 3:3, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. To be in that kingdom, you must receive new birth. Not physical birth, but receiving new life from Jesus himself. Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus said of himself, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And that's us. We're wandering. We don't know where we are. And Jesus says to us this morning, "I have come to find you, to lead you home, to save you from yourself and from your sin." John chapter 14, verse 6. These are the words of Jesus. "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me." For those who are lost, Jesus is the way home. And whatever else we may hear, whatever voice we are listening to, we need to hear that Jesus is the truth. The death of Jesus is central to our salvation. We sing about it. He took our sin so that we would be restored in our relationship with God. And the words of Jesus speak about a foundation for our lives and also for our future. These words that I've just quoted from the New Testament, these are the words of Jesus which give us that good foundation. But there are those here who would say that the words of Jesus are the foundation of their lives. And the challenge of the Sermon of the Mount comes to us this morning. Because in that sermon, Jesus urges us to attend to prayer in our lives. He calls us to sort out our relationships before we come to worship. He asks us to deal with lust in our lives, to give to those in need, not to be stressed and anxious, but increasingly learn to trust him for the decisions that we have to make. He calls us not to collect earthly treasures, but to make his kingdom our absolute priority. I'm exhausted already. And there will be aspects of some of these that are more challenging for some of us than for others. And I suppose this morning I'm saying, whatever it is that you find difficult to obey Jesus in, then you do need to work on that and sit alongside somebody who can help you with it. And all of this isn't easy. And the reason that I asked for Luke chapter 6 to be read was that in Luke's version, the writer, Luke, says the wise person had to dig deep to get down to the rock. I think that's an amazing picture. The picture I was reading is that perhaps these two houses were standing side by side. Underneath them was sand, but to get down to the rock took real effort. So one person wasn't prepared for that effort and so just built on the sand. That was the house that came crashing down. The other person went right down to where the solid rock was, and that was the house that stood firm. You see, discipleship isn't always easy. It doesn't just happen. You don't just rock up and it works. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was sitting listening to a sermon next to a friend. And afterwards, we had a conversation which was that the Christian life is about numerous decisions every single day. Choices that need to be made. We know we shouldn't go somewhere, and yet we do. We're unable to be disciplined. So I think this is calling us to what sometimes might be seen as hard work, to obey what Jesus calls us to do. At the heart of Christian discipleship is obedience. And throughout history, the people of God have been called to obey. This isn't a new thing. This has gone on for centuries in the lives of the people of God. Noah, I was just reading through Genesis and I was really excited by Noah. Noah lived lots of miles from the sea. He hardly ever saw rain. And God told them to build a boat because there was going to be a flood. And it's wonderful when you read through Genesis chapter 6 and 7. This is what it said about Noah. Noah did everything God commanded him to do. And then God says about Noah, I have found you righteous in this generation. In other words, he was living the way that God wanted him to live. And in contrast to that, Jonah was called to go and preach to the Ninevites, who were his enemies. And if he had done that, he would have been in danger, and he might even have been seen as a traitor by his own people. And so he disobeyed God. He went in the other direction, and he said, not for me. I don't know this morning, but my question is there something that God is asking you to do and you're unwilling to do it or unwilling to get rid of it? I think that's the challenge of Matthew chapter 7. Are we prepared to obey the words of Jesus? In Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, there's a very, very powerful statement. I love it, but it's hard. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you do not do what I say?" I think that's the question that I want us all to go away with this morning. If we say to Jesus, "You are Lord," as we've been singing, and we refuse to do something that he's calling us to do, isn't that a massive contradiction? Before each other, it looks as if we're all fine and everything's okay. But Jesus sees behind the mask. And actually, to wear a spiritual mask is an offense to Jesus. We shouldn't do that anymore. If we call him Lord, then we should do what he's asking us to do. Today we speak a lot about listening to God, and that's good. I don't think our problem is either listening or hearing from God. I think the issue for us is obeying what we've heard. The words of Jesus and the teaching of the Bible, it's good to read them. It's good to memorize them. It's good to think about them. But they only really work when we obey them. And the parable of the wise and the foolish builders reminds us that if we are only hearers of Jesus' words, we're building on sand. Last words of Luke chapter 6 speaks about the storm coming. When the storm came, the house built on the sand collapsed. And there's a phrase right at the very end which says, "And its destruction was complete." Can I ask you this morning, when the storm or the final examination of our lives comes, how will we fare? Will we stand firm, or will we be like the house that stood on the sand? Will we be swept away? Is our security in the words of Jesus, and is a response to them a firm foundation? Just before I came out this morning, I was reading in Psalm 25 and verse 10. These were lovely words, and I want just to end by leaving them with you. "All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant." We're called to obey. And in this parable, Jesus is looking for a response to the great sermon that he preached. And this morning, as we conclude, may you be focusing in on an area of your life which may or may not have already been outlined as I've spoken. And will you commit to do what Jesus is saying so that you can be called a wise person whose life is founded on the rock? Shall we take a moment to pray? Lord, we come to you this morning and we do thank you for your word. We thank you for this very simple parable, which is Jesus' altar call to all that has gone before. There are some very challenging things in that sermon, Lord, and as Casey has already mentioned, perhaps we can't tick all of these boxes. Lord, I just pray that each of us would just take one thing this morning and say, "That's what I'm going to deal with." And Lord, with your help, we pray that you would enable us to obey you. So we thank you for your word, and we thank you for each other. And as we seek to journey together, we pray that you would help us to be a support for one another in that journey. So we give thanks and bring our morning worship in Jesus' name. Amen.